Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Y'all, after years of just doing Flamin' Hot Cheetos, regular Cheetos do nothing for me.
Oh no.
they do nothing for me.
You've become too powerful.
Flavorless, bland.
The like, subtle Cheeto flavor is not pleasing to your bouquet.
cheese talcum powder. Nah, not doing it anymore.
Nice.
Okay. So
James, we're talking about Cheetos, please.
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 Please, my guy. Let's anger a shopkeep.
Let's do it.
I see.
No, we're going right. to be nice. Yes.
Let's,
so nice.
Let's stall out this campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick a fight with everybody that I see.
I think it takes a little bit to get your bearings. This is not a place that labels many of the businesses. You can see there are signposts out front of most of the buildings, but very few of them actually have the signs hanging right now. There's a tavern is marked. The church obviously is marking all of its buildings. Certain Red Feather offices are marked, but there are a lot of blank spaces. And I think it does not take too much. Based on just like the presence, like numbers that we have for our whole group here, you kind of know that people are looking at you, and like there's kind of like a quizzical questioning look as they look at you. They don't appear alarmed. They do appear a little confused, and eventually somebody in a mask wearing a red coat goes, "Well, hello there."
Ah, yes. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to meet you.
The captain pushes Jonnet out the way to, like, engage.
Sorry if I stepped on your toes there.
No. You snapped to attention. Let's go.
It's a pleasure. It's a fine, if slightly chilly weather we're having. There is an elegant white-gloved hand that Julian offers the person.
Okay, you have gloves on. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's cold, so we have gloves on, not knowing the custom, but hey, it's cold. You wear gloves when it's cold.
Yeah.
Also, if we were already here for the tattoos.
You were, but the tattoo like happened at night. That was cool. In the evening, I believe. Which, you know, even if we didn't establish that in the past, I think it is to your benefit a little bit, to our narrative benefit, so we can explain everything.
Fair.
Well, I'm apologies. It's just not the season for privateers.
Oh,
and I did not receive any information in the ports of visitors coming.
No. I'm sorry. This is probably going to be the nth time today I've had to explain this to locals. We were on a bit of how should we put this? If an extended family tour, and we seem to have gotten a little bit off track.
Where are the bathrooms?
I'm hungry.
Where are the bathrooms?
I'm hungry. I'm so hungry.
There are very few public privies available, if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to throw a fit if I can't use a bathroom right now.
You may wish to try the tavern establishments, I believe, for paying customers, of course. But They might be able to get you what you need. I'm afraid the inns are closed at the moment. I hope you won't be too put out by staying on your ships.
That will be fine. In fact, why don't we? Would you mind, Thomas, taking charge, wrangling my child for the time being, and making sure that he's seen to? Well, I talk to the nice gentleman here about maybe.
Forgive me, Ansem Stone.
Stone, you say? A pleasure, Stone. I'm Larbalest. It's a pleasure.
Ah, of course. I would recognize a northern name. Oh, you must be from the Azure region.
I would like to, doing this in advance, because I think it's definitely going to color how the conversation is going to go, make a reputation roll. I think that probably feels like the appropriate stat here.
Okay.
Because, hey, I have reasonably high reputation, and I think channeling the... I'm a charismatic pirate into this kind of different sphere of being a person makes sense.
Yeah, roll away. I have rolled it. This is a normal challenge.
Sure. I have 2d8 in reputation, and if I spend a point, I can boost that with another d6.
It would be 2 points to boost with an additional die, one to upgrade one of your existing die.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'll spend a point to upgrade one of my D8s to a D12, yeah?
Perfect.
Got it. That is a 5 on the D8 and an 8 on the D12.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this is... a tremendous success. I think the name Larbalest is picked out very carefully. It is something clearly grounded in the Azure region of Sphere. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of wealthy barons and whatnot in that region, but like it's so populated with like these wealthy baronies and whatnot, it would be impossible for somebody who isn't specifically embroiled in the politics of that region to go, you're not that person or whatever. It is like just a vague area that carries a lot of vague titles that implies money and implies like social standing.
Indeed. As you can understand, since we're from the north, this part of, once you get below the hemisphere, where our sense of direction is all over the shop. But I figured, since we are taking a bit of a detour, it'd be nice to do a little bit of sightseeing, instill in my child here some local culture. Isn't that right? Would you like to learn about the local culture?
I'm hungry. Janet stomps.
Well, it'll certainly teach the young one about the values of hard work. Let this whole area be a lesson to you, my dear boy.
What is this whole area's deal?
Why, this is a place that young people end up if they aren't diligent and careful in their work and study.
Oh, does Janet... In like kind of walking to where we are now, did Janet see any kids or people around his age or lower?
You have not seen many children.
This place, as it were, Sorrow's End, is a reformatory colony. We have established this as the Syndicate, and he indicates to some Syndicate pips and stripes that, like, you are clearly talking to a red feather, like, mid-level manager. This is somebody who handles paperwork and accounting and whatnot for the Red Feather Syndicate. We have established this place to allow unfortunate and... uncareful souls an opportunity to free themselves from their debts and the onerous pale that they have put upon society by, of course, working it off. And it produces useful goods available to the whole of Sphere.
Oh, there's a level of, like, gritted teeth that Jonnet has to, like, like work against, but then is like, you don't say. What kind of goods are made here?
Why,
anything that's...
You are looking at them, my dear boy. And he stands back and you can see like his outfit. One of the things that is really striking about a lot of the decorations here is the colors are so very vibrant. Everything looks new. You know, Orimar has a red feather jacket that is his like primary coat that he wears in many places, but the reds on that look so much duller than the reds that you are looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
We produce red, the red, now on every flag, every jacket, every insignia around the whole of the rediscovered world. There are, of course, a few lesser pigments also produced here, but red feather crimson, that only comes from one place in the world. These factories that you see here, these factories which allow people the opportunity to no longer become a drain on society and instead become one of its great assets.
Oh, yes, I do believe in getting the best out of the people that like to work for you, isn't that right?
Oh, indeed.
I tell you what, Mr. Stone, how about you take me on a little bit of a shopping tour? Maybe we stop for a break of cheese and wine, and you maybe let our my child and the help find the facilities.
Well, it would be terribly rude of me to turn away a privateer who's visiting our humble city. Of
immediately,
course, I'd be happy to.
Immediately, Orma kind of like glances away from Stone at Gable with the most like, I'm so sorry.
It just came out.
These must be done for the circumstances ahead.
Yes, please. I would very much appreciate it. Also, I did see a lot of people in, I suppose, the working garb. Wouldn't it be funny, absolutely delightful for us to go and buy a set of the clothes? So, you know, in the little lad here is acting out of line, I can show the outfit, I could never threaten my child, but, you know, show them what could be if they continue to act out of line.
He gives you a look and accompanies it with a little swat that is like, oh, you're so very bad.
Of course, my dear sir, especially you dropping in unannounced in this way, there are many things that you are not familiar with. You will, of course, need a mask and so much else. And he like starts to, you know, go through like the things that you will have to get as he leads Orimar away. I'm going to turn to Gable and Jonnet for the moment. Orimar has been led away. You now have really wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do.
Out of game, should we hit on like go somewhere? Because I feel like this is probably a good opportunity to like explain the curse that afflicts everybody.
Yeah, just, we... All you need to do is meet people. Meet people and that will come forth. Like, get the lay of the land. Let your characters gather information and in turn the audience will do so.
Word. Is there... I think John is like, I've turned to Gable and is like, I want to see where they make this red.
We can do anything you want since I'm your nanny, apparently.
I did not say that. You saw who said that.
I'm gonna.
All right,
gonna
you take that up
fit.
with your captain.
I'm gonna throw
all right?
a shit fit once we get home. I'm going. That being said, I agree with you, and I'll play the part. I'll try to do it, but do you want
all right,
to?
Well, I want to see the red. Take me to the red. He stomps again.
Yes, young sir.
And then John kind of keys in and is like, oh, you know what we haven't done in, I guess, a year's time? And then he goes, I want to go up. I want to be on your shoulders.
You are so much taller.
I know.
So, yes, young sir. And Gable just like not struggles, but you are so much longer than used to.
Like this is like 9.5 feet too now. Like you on Gable's shoulders is a lot.
I feel like it finally results in like the best effort that we can make is like it's a full fireman's carry. John is just horizontal.
Pretending like this is a very normal way to take care of children, just shoulder over shoulder, like a sack of potatoes.
Once around the park.
It's a new it's a new parenting technique, you see, in Soto to Mr. Stone.
Are you following us or are you going with?
Oh, yeah, no.
You have split your separate ways. Yeah.
No, but James, are you following?
I'm following you guys for right now. So we'll turn you towards, you want to see the red. The factories are quite obvious. All of the Red Feather buildings are marked with Red Feather insignia. You can see, again, there are workers who are taking breaks and whatnot that are like, you know, smoking and whatnot outside of the building. So it's pretty obvious of where you would want to go if that's your destination. Do you walk up to them?
Yeah, I think kind of like he gets carried up and then I guess is turned clockwise to the point where Johnny can look at someone.
You sure you don't want to put you down?
There are
playing the part.
Guards in front of these buildings that as they see this like teetering mass like come towards them, look, give each other a look and then like kind of straighten up. And as you approach the building, one of them goes, whoa, hold on there, stranger. Hold on.
We were told that this is where the infamous red is made. And we are such big fans of that red.
the guards nod, completely understandable. This isn't a time of year for privateer visits, so we're not in a state to be running tours, if that makes sense.
And then Johnny uses this as an opportunity to throw a shit fit of his own. And so he starts like smacking the side of Gable's head. But want to see the red. I want to see. Papa told me I could see the red.
The young sir demands to take a tour.
Begin cawing so loud.
The cawing will not stop. I have to emphasize how long he can go with the cawing. Please,
make
I'm begging you. Just take the answer.
Presence check.
Mm-hmm. Whom?
This is Jonnet. Jonnet, this is like your thing. Though, add your relationship die with Gable for this. Let's see. So you're going to be adding another D8 to this, but make sure it is separate from the other D8s that you roll because that one has a different chart to it.
Okay, so it's going to be how many? How many D8s?
So you've got one in presence.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And
then
if you're adding anything or whatnot, but Gable is part of this. So you'll also be rolling a relationship die for Gable. Mm-hmm. And the results of that will add to the results.
And you can spend points from presence to either increase the value of one of those dies or make a new one if you spend two.
I will spend, and I think that actually takes me going off of my system that I have, I think I'm out of presence if I spend on this.
Did you refresh everything before we started?
No.
Yeah. That's,
all right. Well, then I'm back and fresh, baby. Cool. Well, then I'm spending one presence.
Okay. Spending one presence to upgrade. So you're going to be rolling a D12 and a D8.
Okay. So that is a 7 and an 8. That's a 15.
Okay.
Wait, what?
7.
Yes.
And yeah, but we don't need to add them together.
Gotcha. So
seven on seven's on the D12, right?
The D12 was a 7. The D8 was an 8.
An 8. Oh, okay. Great. So this is going to add to your check. So that is yet another success. So 3 successes on this. You also get a bit of transform. which is really cool. This is our first time encountering one of these results on a relationship die. So what transform is going to do for you is this role, you are leveraging your relationship with Gable and the way that you work together to make this role. And I think as time is passing and the way that you have leveraged a relationship in this way, things have changed a little bit. So yes, you've checked off one box of transform. What you are kind of realizing is this dynamic, this young kid and caretaker dynamic that you have established with Gable is serving you less fluidly than it used to. Oh. Way back in Nordia, this was the play. Jonnet was a smaller kid, but you've taken on some inches and pounds. You have the faint whisperings of a mustache now. It used to feel really natural to do this with Gable. This was a great grift for you. It feels more awkward this time, and it may give you pause as you do it next time. So yeah, that is, you've got one tick of transform on the, let's see, Captain's Council. Yeah, and so that is also sort of standing in for how Gable relates to the core Captain's Council too. Regardless, the gambit pays off in this circumstance. There are these two hapless guards watching clearly a very entitled child, which can only be the result of a very rich parent pushing around a caretaker. They have their orders, but they also know that they can't allow this to continue because it's going to get somebody in trouble. Whoa, strangers. Look. The reason that we wait for, the season for privateers to come through is the factories aren't normally safe to look through. We got to shut down operations for a day or so at least to make the air even breathable for folks who aren't outfitted. But if you want to see the red, that is something that we can probably do for you.
Love to see
there
the
isn't.
Red.
There isn't a mask that is thick enough for me to put on that would protect me from the air.
The guards kind of share a look, a little sweaty. Look, we can't be responsible if something happens to you. So
what happens?
We're going to fetch somebody. We're going to fetch somebody. They're going to be able to answer all your questions. Just come this way. And they lead you over to one of the unmarked, like, storefronts that doesn't have a sign hanging out in front of it. The other guard returns in time with, like, a set of keys and another person who looks to be, like, they have just changed out of work clothes or, like, the outer layers of work clothes and thrown a red feather jacket that, like, kind of fits on top of it. They're still wearing a mask, but, like, this is, from what you can tell, because a lot is covered, like, their hair is tied up, they've got a mask on. This is a young woman who looks to be, like, in her late 20s, greets you two. Hi there. Hello. Welcome to Sorrow's End. I'm so sorry that we weren't ready to greet you today. I thought I had a different duty. The door pushes open and, like, light from the outside streams into the room. She begins to light the lanterns around as, like, one guard now stands outside of the shop. The other goes to the entrance to the factory. So normally we don't have, a lot of our displays up because, again, we weren't expecting a customer.
Out of season. Yes.
But we can take orders and whatnot. And I would be happy, to walk you through our processes here at Sorrow's End where, first of all, my name is Ariel. Where can I ask, do you all hail from?
Tell her where we hail from.
This is not part of our exercises. This is the young sir.
Young sir.
This is the young sir.
Oh, wait. I'm the captain's son, Labalesque.
Yes. The young sir, Labalesque. I am
Tiago Lancaster Labalesque.
Yes, the name gets ever longer with time. And I am... Gable is doing a bunch of math in their head of like, I can't be Thomas because Thomas was supposed to be a name that people don't know yet. And then they know that I'm Thomas. So there's a lot of like algebra growing across their face. Mm-hmm. And so Gable says, and I'm Tom.
Tom?
I'm Tom.
Okay. Yes,
I'm Tom.
Tom.
I'm
well,
Tom. Yeah.
You're Tom. It's okay. You're Tom. It's happened. We're in it now. You're Tom.
Young Sir Labalest and Tom, welcome to Sorrow's End. This is one of the most productive and unique pigment production operations in the whole of Sphere. Our pigments cannot be found anywhere else, and many of them are highly in demand. So if you are here to pick up new cargo or indeed new pigments for garments or pre-dyed garments, you have found one of the most special places in all of Sphere.
And why? And before this, Tom, you can put me down.
It's just like a real flumping sack of potatoes. Yes, sir.
Hits the ground.
Yes, sir.
Pops
Thank
back
you,
up. Why is it so rare to find this particular dye? It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But why is it so hard to come by anywhere else in Sphere?
Yeah, as you are saying this, like, you can walk by like displays that are up of like, they'll have under glass certain powders, and above it like fabric swatches of like different ways things are dyed, or like paint swatches of how it can be mixed into painting mediums, and there are also displays of ink and whatnot just showing off red feather crimson in all of the ways that it can be put to use. There are also definitely places where you can see Solotrista blue dye that is paler, that moves from like a periwinkle to like a light gray blue, hints of green. There is also a brown dye that is clearly less enshrined but still advertised. It's actually more towards the back of the displays in the shop. It's rare because the things that we harvest the pigment from don't exist in other places on Sphere. Red Feathers used to use all kinds of reds in their dye before they were unified under Red Feather Crimson. When this was discovered by Red Feather operatives around 15 years ago, they knew they had found something special. And we set up an operation to really produce this pigment en masse. And slowly, we have phased out inferior reds from the Red Feather line to the point where Red Feather Crimson, or Syndicate Red, as it is known in many places, is the only pigment used to create our insignias anywhere. In the past few years, we have finally achieved this. We finally managed to increase production to the point where it can do that. And, I am happy to say that we've been able to increase production to the point where we're going to be able to step beyond that pretty soon. There are many pinks and oranges that can be made with red feather mixtures. There are greens that are possible, even yellows if it's properly diluted. All of that can stem from here. And it, well, I guess I'll give you the full tour. She moves over to something that's like been covered up by a sheet. She pulls down that sheet, and it is an illustrated like explainer of the production process. Happy New Year, heroes. It's James, your Game Master, and welcome to the Midroll. Heroes, I certainly hope you enjoyed your holidays and all of our holiday celebrations over here at One Shot. If you haven't listened already, we did a feed drop on Christmas for a new show concept that we're going to be rolling out here on One Shot, Adventure Capitalists. It's a competitive actual play where two groups of four players try to make as much in-game money as possible over the course of four sessions, and whichever group makes more wins an actual cash prize. It's a ludicrous concept. I got some great performers for it, including a voice you'll recognize from Campaign Skyjacks, Rishon Scott. The setting we designed together is truly bonkers, and I think everyone will have a lot of fun listening to it. So check out that preview, and I will let you know when that show rolls out. Of course, that is not the only show that premiered. Skyjoust is now up on its own feed. It's rolling out with weekly episodes. When we reach new content, there is a chance that we will dial back to bi-weekly. I have to look at our schedule. But for now, Skyjoust is weekly. The first several weeks are, of course, going to be the Burning Tales match. We did a slight re-edit on those to make it easier for folks who don't know Courier's Call as much to understand. But overall, everybody should be able to enjoy Skyjoust, and we have more exciting news about Skyjoust rolling out soon. So watch this space. As always, a huge and hearty thank you to our backers over on Patreon. You are the reason that this show is still on the air. We could not do it without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. If you'd like to be a part of the magic behind this show, head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support us. And if you do sign up, you'll be getting rewards in return. At $5 a month or more, you get access to the Secret Archive, which has lots of bonus audio. One of the pieces of bonus audio that we rolled out over the holiday break was another piece of the Session Zero for Campaign Skyjacks. We laid the foundation for a lot of the game in that Session Zero, and it is so interesting to see where those ideas came from and which directions we almost veered off into. Thanks to everyone who signed up already, and thanks to everyone who's going to sign up in the future. Now then, a quick word from our sponsor. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky! As you can see here, we start with Vermiliano. Vermiliano is a fungus that grows here in this particular region of the world. We have hopes of eventually creating artificial conditions where we'll be able to grow this fungus, or at least moving it to a band and sphere closer to Arum. But for the time being, it only exists here. This fungus only grows in certain areas, though I'm happy to report we are slowly figuring out ways to expand those areas where we can harvest from. It matures into a stage where it produces something like a berry, full of a thick and viscous substance that we can distill down through our various processes into this powdered pigment. From there, we can use that to make all of our wonderful dyes, including the dye for Syndicate Red. It's a sensitive harvesting process. Those berries can only be harvested at an adolescent stage. If it progresses too far, this fungus will actually begin to spore, and at that point, it can become quite dangerous to be around. The raw juice of the fruit of the berries, as it were, is also quite dangerous, but obviously, as it cannot be taken in through the lungs, that danger is somewhat mitigated, and through proper equipment and whatnot, it can safely be distilled. So we set up our operations to harvest the berries, bring the berries.
So sorry for interrupting. Mm-hmm. You may continue. I am so desperately searching for a bathroom, so I apologize for if I lost my attention, but please continue.
Oh, a restroom facilities?
Yes.
One of the guards could, Angelo, she'll just like mention to the man. Could you, guide, our dear guest here to a facility restroom?
I have to walk them that it's, there's signs that
we
I came over here
for. Very
from.
Wealthy visitors, Angelo, and I just really appreciate if you could just guide this visitor to the restroom. That would be lovely.
Okay. Yeah. Right this way.
Pay attention, going... young sir. And then afterwards, we'll have your nap.
All right. Hurry back. Hurry back. I'm feeling sleepy.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I walk with
The sign.
So
yes. You can see the sign. You can. We both see the sign, right?
I just need some. I'm just so. My sense of direction is so. Not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're halfway there already.
As I was saying, we have processes to produce those pigments here. They produce such lovely hues, and thankfully to the rehabilitation program that we have here, it not only produces the pigments, but offers people a chance to escape debts that have been quite troubling to them for some time. Almost everyone that you see here is part of that program, and is here under a work contract, myself included.
Oh, you seem, John, it looks left and right. You seem okay with this. How has this work been treating you? How long have you been here?
Well, she looks like nervous. My contract is for 3 years. And I've served a year of that as it is. And I am grateful for the chance to, finish my term, work hard, finish my term and return to where I once lived.
Well, yes, hopefully that happens. Those last two years fly by. You said that the syndicate is becoming interested in producing other kinds of colors. Why is that something that they would want to get? It seems like if it's so beautiful and not broke, why try to fix or expand upon it? Why get out of red?
Well, it's not a decision to leave red behind. Thanks to the esteemed Edith Truss, who leads this operation here in Sorrow's End, we have increased production by 200% in the past 5 years. And we expect to produce it by at least 200 more in the next year. If Edith's vision is to be seen to completion, that will obviously, call for a larger workforce and greater investment here. But that also means that we will have such an excess of the pigment needed to produce Syndicate Red that we will be able to use that pigment in the creation of other pigments, which, again, we are... Obviously, this is something that belongs to the minds at the top, as it were. They've only told us of the plans and how excited they are and how they're sure that our customers will also be excited of these plans, as there'll be so many other wonderful hues available to purchase and ship across the whole of Sphere.
And do you think you'll have enough debtors to man these stations? Where are you going to get them all? Where are you going to get the new debtors from?
It is hard to read Ariel's expression. She's wearing a mask mm-hmm. to start. She is clearly somebody who is trained to be a little customer servicey. The thing that I have found is that people, there are always people in need who will make poor decisions, which means there are always people who will owe. This isn't the only debtor operation run by the Red Feather Syndicate. There are a lot. And I feel like maybe they'll redirect resources, or maybe there will simply be more people as the Red Feathers expand their operations, farther expanding the rediscovered world.
And I may ask, Ariel, what was your mistake? And do you still, do you regret it?
Whew.
I think this calls for a roll.
Yeah, that's,
and there are two ways to go about this, Jonnet. Like, I think you know that this is a rude thing. And so there are two ways you can do it. You can make something of a shift in the mask that you're wearing from being a, you know, petulant rich boy to now, especially being unattended, a little bit more soulful, like somebody that she could be honest with. Or you could appear to be dangerous enough that if you are not indulged in every little bit of your rudeness, that it could carry some penalty for her. And
I feel, yeah.
I feel like
John, it's probably going to go the way of like, hey, there's no one else here. I've already kind of asked you, like, how do you feel about this? Like, is there a world where we can see kind of eye to eye? If it's like, I'll drop some of my mask if you drop some of your mask.
All right. So what I believe to do it that way, that is going to be a bedeviling check. So that'll be against 3 black dice. However, if you succeed at that roll, I think you are going to get a lot more forthcoming and honest information out of this person.
What am I rolling? Because I can.
So I would say this starts kind of at presence, right? Like, you are.
Well, I'm going to spend. All right. So we just got 1d8. And then.
Taking the 2 will add a d6 to that.
Yeah. Boop. Okay. So that is 10.
Again, you don't need to add them together.
I'm sorry.
You need to tell me
the D8 is a 4 and the 6 is a 6.
Wow. Lucky roll here. Oh. I don't get anything to challenge you. And let me see here. What did you say the D6 was?
The 6 is a 6.
6 is a 6. Okay. And D8 was a 4. Okay. This is just an opportunity here. So we need to turn to the luminaries as this roll became a wash.
Who? Wash.
I pull up the union on my roll. That is fulfillment, harmony, wholeness, love, and community. And at this point, Jonnet is 17 years old.
16 mentally.
Yeah, 16 mentally. Let's say that this person is 19, so it's not entirely weird if this person were to have some kind of attraction to Jonnet. I think based on this, especially because the union was one of the cards that we had like determined sort of embodies the community of this place, I think you have everything you need that this is a success. You also got an opportunity and a fate on top of that. So mark a fate for yourself. I'll just need you to tell me, like, how is Jonnet making it clear that he was kind of putting on a persona earlier? How is he allowing this person to like lower her defenses and be a little bit honest about her position?
I think there's like a vocal register like change that I think started to come on by accident on the player's part when Gable left. But I think in asking the question of like, you know, what was your mistake? The syndicate does lay some form of claim on people's lives, whether just or otherwise. But when it comes to you, do you feel as though what you're doing here is deserved?
Mr. Laborest, my story is my own. I would not feel right telling it on company time, but if it is something that you truly wish to know, I believe I could make some time after work is done, if you would like to meet up with me at one of the establishments nearby.
What time is your shift over?
Usually things, when the sun starts to set, my shift wraps up our operations and hands it off to the next. That is another unique thing about our operation here. It never stops, never truly ceases. We run in shifts, and our lives are divided up, only meeting at sunrise and sunset between certain groups. Mm. Once again, the feeling of truss is designed.
Okay, this truss. My crew is ported up for that time, and I think if there's a time and a place, I can be there to meet.
If you would like to meet with me, then I would be happy to spare the time to meet with you. I think we'll cut from there over to... I feel like Gable's going to get themselves into trouble, so I'm going
to
meet up.
We could just say Gable went to the bathroom and came back again.
Came back.
That's true. That is totally true. Let's cut over to Orimar.
That was a little jokey joke for me.
Sure.
You are being walked around this town, mm-hmm. and he's explaining certain things.
We operate in a seasonal way, you know. There are batches of certain pigments that are made available, and that's when most privateers come down to do their bidding, as it were. So you coming now, you're caught between an advantage and a disadvantage, I think.
Oh my. You mean there is a position where I might be able to get first pickings? That would be very delightful.
Exactly. An interesting position. Obviously, we'd have to talk to Miss Truss, but I think you and her would get along famously. We are currently in the middle of a bit of experimentation. We've slowly been expanding our operations, don't you know, for the past several years, and we're ready to premiere some new products. Untested, mind you, but a clever salesperson might be able to make quite a bit of profit having new pigments unavailable anywhere else.
I see. It's always nice to be part of the sample collection.
Before we get to all of that, we must make you presentable. As I've said, because we're between seasons, most of the shopping is closed and most of the buildings don't advertise because it's all things that people in this area, you know, need to buy every day. If you live your life here, you work your life here, you know where to get your meats and your breads and your beers and whatnot. So there isn't much advertising. It all flows back to the feathers anyway. So we don't have front-facing operations, but if you know the right people, he goes over and he knocks on a door, and you see another laborer inside. This person appears to have like almost like dark red, like eyeshadow around their eyes. They're pretty tightly bound up. But they have very thin leather gloves on and, you know, are still completely enshrouded. Hello there. Mr. Stone. I wasn't expecting a visit from a customer such as yourself or a stranger that I also don't recognize. No need for pleasantries. This is our tailor. Also has access to all the dyes that we would normally operate with. But you need appropriate clothes for the area. You and your son and your maid servant.
Assistant,
or,
yes.
Yes. And really any who travel with you. Dreadful things can catch in the air around here and give you a touch of the crimson, as it were.
A touch of the crimson, you say? Mm. Is that a euphemism or something I should be more concerned about?
Oh, dear. Definitely something to be concerned about. Maybe not quite in your position, but one can never be too careful. Poor Barnabas here was not very careful at all. Were you, Barnabas?
And you can see there is like some gritting of a teeth behind a mask as this tailor just nods.
Got a bit in a bad way about it, I suppose.
You must take care of yourself. The crimson, as it were, there's a much more colorful bit of language they use in the area. Oh, I wish I could remember it. The toque, as it were, the toque vermilio, as it is known, I don't know the science of it. It's a bit beyond me, and certainly not something you need to worry about if you take the proper precautions. But the laborers in here pick it up, something dreadful. Has something to do with the way the pigments are made, don't you know? It can be treated, of course, and if you shouldn't be too careless with the way you manage your finances, don't end up as a laborer here and as a laborer here who can't seem to work their way out, then you can come down with something quite dreadful. I don't know all the symptoms. I'm sure one of these rabble would be able to tell you more about it. But the important thing is you will need a mask, and it is good to expose as little skin as possible in common places, especially around the factories, you know.
Of course. That seems like a very sensible suggestion. Hopefully my child has been informed of such things and is taking appropriate precautions. Such a precocious young lad, you know.
Well, he will pick up everything he should need here.
Marvelous. We'll be making sure to have some for the three of us, and we do have a few traveling companions that might be running exterior to the ship. I think they're more of the kind that like to stay in creature comforts rather than go exploring dull, you understand, but I should make sure that there are some additional masks.
Yes, of course. I'm sure you can put in an order, and Barnabas and his crew will be able to put together anything you might need. May I ask, where are you ported? Again, I wasn't informed. I am acting portmaster of the area, and we don't expect any shipments to be passing through. Obviously, you came here on a lark for your holidays, but, I wouldn't want you to be traveling too far.
No. We're only a short distance away. But I must thank you for being so kind and forthright. And in fact, I was going to, in our initial meeting, make sure that the things were settled up front. I want you to know that I am a direct speaking businessman, but now seems a reasonable time. And, Orimar, pulls out a sack of coin. Like it was air, and immediately gives a like you wouldn't expect to be paid anything to be shown around a place, but gives Mr. Stone cash immediately, and then also gives Barnabas cash immediately in two fell swoops, like it was, you know, paying for a cup of coffee.
Are we talking bits or bars here? Are we talking gold or silver? What are you flashing around?
Oh, God.
I will tell you, for a low-level, entry-level sailor, we call that a two-bit sailor, that you're expected to be able to get two copper bits per week, which should be enough to sustain you through that process. So that is the level of wealth you're looking at.
Yeah. I think Barnabas gets like maybe a single silver bit, like it's upgraded.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. That's great.
And I think Mr. Stone gets two.
Oh my, I could never.
And he immediately takes the bits offered. Mm-hmm.
Very generous indeed.
Yes, let's just, I figured I would make sure to pay you for your time now. And then, you know, let me on my merry way and go and handle the family. I'm sure there's a lot of explaining to do. You know, when there are some people that just can't be told what to do, you tell them to wear a mask and they tell you something very, very difficult in exchange. So I figure I should handle that directly, don't you?
No, of course, of course, of course. Well, Barnabas, we shall have you put in an order with Barnabas for you and any of your various servants that might need to be outfitted to travel about the area. And I really feel that I must set up a meeting between you and Miss Trust. That must happen.
That would be absolutely delightful. It's always a pleasure to meet new people. And do make sure to get one of the laborer outfits as well. I do want to have a souvenir for my loving child. Let them know what they shouldn't be.
Of course. I wouldn't dream of disrupting a father laying a firm hand. I think it's very important. It helps children become tough and inflexible, which the world requires at many different points.
They both like simultaneously laugh exactly like that. Yeah. And it's a wretched moment.
Child abuse, yes. Tell me, Mr. Laboulest, are you a religious man? I know that a few people in the Azure region are in the religious way.
Only on Sundays, you know how it is. Sundays and weddings.
Well, it may be important for you to attend services here. I am happy to say our little colony is home to an Occhio Vista, a very, very high-ranking member of the church, you know. It is quite the feather on our cap as we grow our population and operations here. I expect that will attract many more interested parties to invest in the area. It strikes me that it might be important to make sure that you get some time to meet our bishop after all.
Oh, that would be delightful, actually. Always nice to be able to bring a story and a holy word back to my neck of the woods. You never know whether you're necessarily on trend with the scripture when you are so disconnected from the holy word.
Well, then, I will say... I must begin flitting my little birds about, and I know you have much ordering to do here. Make sure everything is sized up appropriately to your satisfaction. As I've said, we are not open to the public, quote-unquote, in these times. You'll find fewer amenities for a man of your station here. That is not to say that the area does not have riches to provide, but they mostly live in private estates. If you enjoy any of the publicly available amenities, do be aware that you will be mixing with the laborers.
Oh, not a worry. I have, in my youth, in my daring trips around in my featherweave yacht, we have always done what the kids call slumming it from time to time.
So. You're a braver man than I.
An adventurer. We did manage to make our way down here, after all.
Well, I only to say it would be wise to know that... to keep yourself closer to yourself, the laborers here, as far as I know, the Crimson Touch isn't contagious, but they are quite friendly with one another. It doesn't surprise me that many of them have ended up in the states they've ended up in.
Oh, I see. Well, I shall keep my kinder words of advice to myself. I know when I overstep occasionally. I've been told by my family many times that I am a barbed-worded individual sometimes, so I'll be sure to keep myself in line. Now, if you Not to hurry on this conversation, but a man's waist size is only known between himself and his tailor. So let me have a private word while I get measured up, if that's okay.
Oh, but of course. I shall see you this evening. I'll have someone summon for you later. Be in the square around sundown with whatever party you would like to dine with, and we shall make sure that you meet all the people that one such as yourself must meet.
Marvelous. Oh, one last question before you leave. You mentioned people being able to find their meat and their beers. Is beer the alcohol of choice in this specific region?
Oh, there are some brews. I personally have traveled with a fine collection of wines that I would be happy to donate to a dinner between important parties such as yourself and Miss Truss.
Wine, you say? Okay. Noted. Thank you very much. I look forward to it. It's going to be a pleasure to meet her. Skyjacks. We see ourselves in a post-apocalyptic, desolate landscape of one of the many cities that we've visited before. A Bujanith, maybe, where we see, you know, ships and buildings sticking out at odd angles. This place did not have skyscrapers before, but the way that we have reconstructed the scenery suggests that great empires have been torn down around here. Outfit-wise, we're in kind of tattered, punk, leather-strapped versions of the outfits that we normally have. You know, Arana meets BDSM Leather Club vibe.
Yeah, you
fully know the genre.
Now, I know why I'm dressed like this, but I am curious why everybody else is dressed like this right now.
Well, I on my bunk, I had these clothes very neatly laid out for me, and you know I'd never question an outfit change.
Okay, fair enough.
That's my rationale.
In this age, you need to do what you need to do to survive.
These appeared upon my body in a manner most violent and foul.
I assume that they are... I dressed you, yeah. Yep. Okay, now some things are coming back to me, a little bit.
Finding scraps amongst the sky, finding the appropriate leather straps to supply my crew so they can continue another day. Thank you.
Why?
You're welcome, by the way.
Why is the captain the only one with wind? There's only wind on the captain.
Just, I tried to monologue, but the environment wouldn't let me. It's only letting the captain monologue, which isn't fair, I don't think.
I've come to accept that I'm just not the monologuing sort. You know?
Even in this age, monologuing is a scarce resource scavenged by the few.
It does take up a lot of the captain's time, though. Wait, who is this? You there, child! Come here!
Oi, me?
Absolutely. You are the person that I wanted to talk to in this way.
All right, I'm over here now, and it's about me!
Absolutely.
Well, what can you tell us about this land of ours? And wait a second, you look familiar. Whom star you?
Why, you might recognize me. I'm a combination of two people you know.
Oh, interesting.
Because you find whom? Yourself in the bloody future.
Yeah. Indeed. Amongst the wreckage, we find whoever we can to join our crew, including this strange individual, familiar, pale.
Yes, a cruel future indeed, where society as we know it has fallen and people have to cobble together different pieces of different accents and jam them together, and that's how they say their words, it is.
It's a common problem in the future, from what I can
gather. A huge problem in the future. You'd be like, I think you were talking one kind of way, but then you just make a sort of vocal inflection that sounds completely different, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all a little bit Australian at the end of the day in the post-apocalyptic future.
What's your name? Who are you?
I'm Jeff. I'm a combination of Jane and Pwiff, I am. Everyone thought those two were going to get together at some point, and they did, and I was the result.
Oh, no.
Well,
you...
Unfortunately, Pwiff died in childbirth.
Even
Jane was still the one giving birth, but Pwiff slipped and fell because he was so startled by the whole event, and... He passed away, he did.
Even the
biggest fan events were happened off camera.
Oh.
The resources in this age are so few. Tell me.
What an angel.
Was that Cetus Jif? Did I get that correctly?
Yep, Jif. Not the peanut butter.
Well, would you say... You're from the future. What events preceded this immense destruction and also presumed coitus between two people?
Well, are you familiar with a Rube Goldberg device?
Yes.
I know my friend Rube Goldberg, yes.
Yeah, well, eventually he gets into building elaborate machines where you knock something down and it keeps knocking other things down and there are things that are rolling and plates are moving and all
yes.
that.
Yes.
Is this supposed to be an explanation about...
You do something very simple at the end of the day, but add a lot of complex machinery on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when Pwiff fell, it sort of toppled and continued and snowballed until there wasn't much of a society anymore.
Wait, so Pwiff slipping and falling in the delivery room caused this tragedy?
Oh, it is. Yes.
Man. That's
interesting.
That guy.
It's always something with him, right?
Yes.
It's always something. So
it used to be, yeah.
What I'm getting out of this is that the lesson to be learned here is that Pwiff must live forever. We must go back to the past and place a curse upon him so as to chain his mortal being to this earth in
and
perpetuity.
And you, Jif, with expert knowledge of your two fate-bound parents, must be the person who will steer us upon this goal, clearly.
Wait, so you have a time travel device and it will allow me to go back in time and meet my paps and my mum?
No! You stay here.
Yeah.
You know. Wait, okay. Wait, what?
We're trying to prevent this, and it seems like you going backwards would no, we want to go back to our original.
Feels complicated.
So one of you is just going to take care of it then.
We still have a couple of favors left to call in. Even in this distant future, we haven't actually used all 100 of them. I've been very frugal.
So you have fun with scavenging for, I guess, rats and stuff. Stay alive. Hope it goes great. And hopefully in a couple of minutes, you won't exist anymore.
Well, hold on.
Okay, bye.
Bye. We get back in our big jalopy.
We can see him look down at his hand, which is fading. Goes, oh, bloody hell. you ruined it again, Jif. You ruined it again. And eventually it's just a bunch of leather scraps that fall to the ground.
Echoing through the air, we hear the group of us saying, as we fade into the correct time zone, and never let this happen again. I remember
love,
this time.
Love the sync up on that. That was great.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you. I would have let that scene end. I would have forgotten. I did forget.
Mm-hmm.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Tyler is on strike alongside his fellow members of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. You can support Tyler and other striking artists by contributing to the Entertainment Community Fund, linked in our show notes. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT, or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my podcast, OneShot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Ali Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at @DreamsToBecome or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the sky.